with me, if you would, to the book of Ruth. I've titled this morning's message, The Saving of One. And it comes with a question. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should have everlasting life, and He did, what would He do? Or what would He bring to pass so as to bring this one for whom He loves to Himself? What would our Lord do to bring one? What did He do to bring you to Himself? Would He bring a plague? Would He bring a war? Would He bring a famine? When I talk about famine, in the Old Testament, we didn't have stores like you and I have now that restock their shelves daily. People lived day by day. When a famine comes upon the land in the days of old, people died. You think people are dying today because of this plague, this virus that's going around? How many people died in the days of the Black Plague? Over in England, thousands died. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 16, we read this. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. Now when the Lord says He will bring evil, what He's talking about is pestilence. He's talking about diseases. He's talking about hard times. He's talking about famines. He's not talking about sin. I will bring evil upon the people of this land, is what He says. The Lord of all that we see rules as Lord of all, does He not? He brings blessings and trials as He sees fit, does He not? In Matthew 5:45, we read this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Scriptures give a very strong picture in many, many places that answers these questions that I just said. And here in this historical event, and that's what it is. That's what this is, what we're about to read. It's a historical event. We see a truth of what length the Lord God will go to save one of His elect. Are you with me in the book of Ruth? Let's begin Chapter 1, verse 1, shall we? Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now we'll stop right there. Now it came to pass. Notice it didn't say it happened. Notice it didn't say this thing just happened. It said it came to pass. That means somebody ordered it to happen. That means it came to pass because somebody had to make it happen. The famine came upon the land. Thousands of people died in Israel during a famine. And it wasn't just old folks. Usually the children were the first to starve to death. And I don't mean to paint a super bad picture to you. You get the gist of it, don't you, what a famine is? But it came to pass according to God's will for a reason. Joseph. You all know the story of Joseph? He's the man whose father Jacob loved him so much that he made a coat of many colors, and he put that coat on, and his brothers thought, "Oh man, look how much Dad loves the youngest better than the rest of us." Our Lord made that come to pass exactly how it should for a good reason. So that his brothers would be jealous of him and treat him the way they did. They threw him into a pit first. They thought they were going to threaten to kill him. And then one of the brothers said, "No, no, no, let's not do that. We'll put him in the pit." And then when that brother wasn't looking, they took him out of the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. Sold their own brother. And then those, they took him down to Egypt, and they sold him down there to a house, and the Lord continued to bless the man, and he became a powerful servant in that household. And then the wife of that man who bought him, she had this evil thought in her mind, "I want this man for myself." And when she came to him, he wouldn't have her, and it offended her. So she went to her husband, and she told her husband, "He had me," when he didn't. And her husband threw him in a deeper jail. Are you getting the picture of what we're talking about here? We're talking about what would God do to save one of his people. You know, he had to bring a famine against the land of Israel, or the people of Israel, Jacob again, so that Jacob and his family would up and leave their home and go down into Egypt and be in bondage for 400 years. Is it not God who rules over the land? Are not the very winds and the rivers moved by the hand of God? Is the God that you believe in Lord of all, or is your God a partial ruler? One who rules over this and that. But then he leaves some things up to creation. Man's so-called imagination has learned to call those things Mother Nature. Oh, that's Mother Nature out there. That's why all these things are happening. Mother Nature is doing her thing. Some men call it Lady Luck. I sure am lucky. I got the most beautiful bride in the whole world sitting right there smiling at me. Misfortune. Misfortune's been good to me. I got all that I desire. And I put those three things in with this. Man's free will. It's our imagination. Is the ruler of your universe truly ruling, or is his hands tied by what he has created? That's the difference between the gods of men's imagination and the true and living God of Scripture. The God of Scripture rules. He is sovereign in all that is, sovereign Lord of all things. This is told from the very beginning, where we read in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," not man, not this, not that. God created the heavens and earth. Well, wait a minute, John. Wait just a minute, John. What about Adam? If your God rules over everything, John, could he not have ruled that Adam not sin? Well, the answer to that is absolutely he could have. And no, he couldn't have. God can't do anything outside of his own rule. And his rule was this. His rule is, "My son. My son will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people." Huh? What do you mean, John? Yes and no. Folks, there was a covenant made between the great three in one. God the Father gave a people to his Son. We call him the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son agreed. And this was all done before the world was ever created. It was a covenant between the three in one before the world was made. God the Son agreed that I'll go and become a flesh. I will be made of a virgin, of the seed of the Spirit. I will walk perfectly, holy. I will fulfill the law perfectly for my people. And when all that is done, I will go to the cross and sacrifice myself for them. I, who knows no sin, shall be made sin for them, that they will be made righteous in me. God the Spirit says, I agree. And when the time of our love comes together, I will go to that one whose name is written down in the book of life before the world began, and I will give them life. I will come to them when they didn't even know it, when they don't even know who I am, and I will give them life that they will know me. And then I will keep them, never letting them go. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The works of God are a great mystery, and we cannot know all. For His ways are not our ways. The ways of God are what Scripture declares enmity with the ways of men. Don Fortner said just a moment ago in his writings, don't compare God's love to ours. You will come up short. I love my wife, but I don't love her anywhere near as much as my God has loved me. In Revelation 13:8, we read this, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was called the Lamb slain before anything was ever created. He had to do exactly what He did, when He did, and how He did it, just as all things are purposed by God shall come to pass. There was a famine in the land. Hold your place there in Ruth for just a moment. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 for just a moment. We'll come right back to Ruth. I pray the Lord might keep me in the book of Ruth for a while. We did it as a Bible study a little over a year ago, but I just feel the Lord is leading me to do a series of messages from that. God the Father chose a people to be His. He chose them to serve Him and to worship Him for an eternity. But the will of man rebelled, and sin entered into the world, separating man from God. Was it an accident? No. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. He's not the author of sin, but He allowed it to happen so that we would be saved by His Son and worship Him and praise Him forever. Man could no longer be, because of that sin, in the presence of a holy God. Yet God had set His love upon a particular people. A people given to the Son, and out of love for His people, God was manifest in the flesh. God the Son would give Himself as their substitute. He would provide Himself a sacrifice for their sins. He who knew no sin was made sin, that we would be made righteous in Him. Wicked hands crucified the Lord of all glory, but it was by the determinant counsel of God Almighty. God the Son took every sin that belongs to the chosen, the people of God, the predestined people, the chosen of God, and He paid the price in full. Blessed Redeemer, we sing, Jesus is mine. He redeemed His people. Their sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, it says. The sins of His people are remembered no more. Look at verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Without blame before Him. And then in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now go back to Ruth, if you would, please. Folks, we come into this world speaking lies. That's what the Scripture says. If you say you have not sinned, you call God a liar. That's what Scripture says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is so holy that He cannot even look upon sin. Yet a Savior has come and has redeemed the chosen people of God, those whose names were written in the book of life before the world was, those who were given to the Son to be redeemed, to be restored, to be sanctified, to be justified. In John chapter 6, 35, we read this. Pardon me. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not. And all that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me and I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the will which hath of Him that which sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing. I don't know about you folks, but that gives me great peace. Great peace. He shall lose nothing. We all have loved ones that have no desire for God, don't we? Yet we have a hope. We have a hope right there in those words. He shall lose nothing. Oh, I pray the day will come when my Lord will shine His love upon those that I consider my loved ones. He will lose none, and by His determinant counsel, all that the Father has given Him shall be brought to Him. Possibly in ways that we do not see as comfortable. The Lord brought me here in a way that was not comfortable. You've all heard the story, how the Lord brought me here in tears, looking to lean on my brother's shoulder. I can tell you, that was not a comfortable part of my life. It was a very desperate point in my life. All that the Father has given the Son shall be brought to Him. Sometimes those ways won't be comfortable. They may not be peaceful, but brought to Him they shall be. In verse 2, in Ruth, I'd like you to see the way our Lord brought a daughter of His unto Himself. And I want you to take for a moment to consider what it is our Lord will do to save His people. Let me go back into verse 1 again because we stopped halfway through it. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathitis in Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other name was of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, as both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of to her mother's house, the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they are grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now I want to make some points about this. First off, let's understand that the Lord brought the famine against the people of Israel. The husband and wife and their two sons got up and they left and they went into the country of Moab. There in the country of Moab, the two sons took two wives, Moabitess women. Did you know that the Moabs were descendants of one of the daughters of Lot? You'll recall the story of Lot. Lot was Abraham's cousin, or nephew, I think it was. And he was in the town of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, Get out of there, I'm going to destroy it. And after arguing with the Lord about that and trying to deny it, the Lord sent down two angels to take him out. And he took him out with his family. And then on the way out into the hills, the wife of Lot turned and she looked and she turned to a pillar of salt. And then shortly after that, Lot had been drinking some wine. He drank a little too much. And his daughter saw him laying naked in the tent. And they went in and laid with him. That was the birth. One of those two daughters was the birth of the Moabites. Here comes Ruth. Ruth marries one of the sons. And the Lord does a work in Ruth's heart. The Lord drives one of his people down into this country where the paganism was practiced, where adultery and all the other stuff that you can think of was practiced, drove his people down into that country so that they would marry those two women, and that one, this is what we're talking about, the saving of one. One child would say, no, I'm not going back with my sister. I'm staying with you. Your people are mine now. I belong to your God. Did you know that Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ? I don't know how many great, great, greats there are, but she's one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? See how it all goes right along? I've said to you over a couple of times in the last couple of months, everything that has happened from the beginning of time to right this minute, right here and now, is that God would bring you and I into this building to worship Him. This is not an accident. This is not your will. This is God's will that all this has happened. What He has purposed shall come to pass. Ruth was a child of the Most High. She was a chosen of God. Ruth was loved of God as all His people are. From the foundation of the world, God's love was set upon her from eternity past, and nothing can nor will pluck her from His Father's hands. No one is greater than His Father. The Lord Jesus and His Father are one. Could this love that we have seen for Ruth be a love for you too? Could it be God has moved an entire nation that you would hear the good news of the gospel? Turn to the 10th chapter of John, if you would please, and I'll bring this to a close. While you're turning there, allow me to read from the 9th chapter of Romans. Beginning at verse 13, it says, "As it is written." As it is written back in Malachi 1, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up." This is the Lord God Almighty speaking. "Even for this same purpose has he raised up Pharaoh to be on that high seat of Egypt that he was on, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." That's God's word, folks. That's not mine. "Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will?" Who hath resisted the will of God? "Nay, but O man, Oh man, who art thou to repliest against God? Shall the thing formed? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. God will not lose one of his chosen people. He gave his only begotten Son. The blood of the Most High was shed. But I tell you here this morning, not all are God's people. Are you with me in John chapter 10? Look at verse 14. Our Lord says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. These words brought division. There was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these saying. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, he says, I told you, and ye believe not. And then he goes on to tell them, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I ask you again, would God move evil upon a nation to bring one unto himself? He sent his only begotten Son. He'll do anything it takes. He'll do exactly what is right. He knows what is right. He is smarter than all of us. We need to stop putting our intelligence on the level of his. And remember, our God is all-knowing. This time we're going through now is nothing but a moment in time. It'll pass. What's more important is that we spread the gospel of Christ and him crucified for those that he loves. Our doors are open today for that very reason. And they'll be open next Sunday and next Friday and whenever our Lord gives us the opportunity to open.
Amen.
And I'll preach the same message today that I've preached before and that I'll preach next Sunday. Christ in him crucified. Would God move evil upon a nation to bring one to himself? He will lose none. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.